Psalms chapter 37, as you stand to your feet. I do appreciate the good choir singing this morning. I really do. I know we've got a heavy heart. But listen, I want to preach to us today. I have a thought on I'm glad I know what it's like. And as I preach this, you'll begin to understand some things, what I mean by that title. But look in Psalms chapter 37 and begin to read in verse 23. And the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. And though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Ain't that a good promise? I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you again this morning in Jesus' name and ask you to help us now while we might preach for just a little while. Lord, I know that Brother Frankie's family is heavy at heart, and I know this church is heavy at heart today in the passing of Brother Frankie. But we do understand on the authority of your word that, Lord, he's in your presence today. And Lord, I'm very thankful for that, for the promise and that of your word of when we die, where we get to go because we've trusted you. The heaven is our home. And Lord, I pray today if there's somebody in this sanctuary that does not know you as their personal Savior, that they'd come to be saved today, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, I pray that you'd guard minds and thoughts today. Lord, as we begin to preach, I pray that you just give us the words that your people needs to hear. And I certainly need you to come by and anoint us afresh today. Help the one that needs help. Lord, we'll just thank you for it all. And Lord, I pray now for strength. Save that sinner's nearest tail for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and do pray. Amen. And amen. As we look here, as Psalmist, as David, he's talking here, and he talks about the good man, how that the steps of a good man, his path that he travels is ordered by the Lord. Let me say today that if your path is going to be ordered by the Lord, then you're going to have to know in that the Word of God. We seen that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. He said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And that's why we hide. And that God's word in our heart is to keep ourselves pure and holy in that to God. He says that thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And it's there to guide us. And he said that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in his way. And I know that the good man delights in the way of God. He loves God's way. But can I tell you this? That God loves the way of a good man. He really does. He loves the way that a good man or a good woman is going to travel and that for him. And he says right here, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. And ain't you glad you've got somebody and that to hold you up through this life and through your spiritual life to keep you going no matter what might happen. But I want to preach out of verse 25 where the psalmist said, "I've been young and now I'm old." And he said, "Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor seen begging bread." Let me say today that as David talked about this, as the psalmist talked about this, he said, "I have seen some things in my life." He said, "I've been young, and now I'm old." Hey, now when I was these young men's age here, sitting over here, and Miss Candace is I tell my Sunday school class this. I used to hate when people would say, "When I was your age, you know, I didn't know as much." But through experience, I've learned some things. When I was probably 18, 19, 20, and 21, I thought I knew everything, but come to find out, I didn't know near as much as I thought I did. I know less now than I did when I was 25. Amen. I've come to figure that out. I don't know near as much as I think I did. Amen. Don't these kids know everything? I'm just picking on you, son. I'm just picking on you, all right? Listen, but listen today. You know what? I have learned some things by experience. And I have seen God move over the years. Hey, can I tell you that as David said, he said, I've been young and now I'm old. I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Listen today, there has been some things that as I've got older, I have experienced in my life and seen God work over and over and over again. And I'm glad I know what it's like. How many of you today, that, let me say this, knows what it's like and that to have your prayers answered? I'm talking about to have your prayer answered. I mean to have your supplications and that satisfied this morning. Hey, listen, the Bible said in Matthew 6, he teaches us and that how to pray. He says to get into your closet and shut the door. And he said, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Listen, I'm glad that I know what it's like and that to pray and know that God is listening to me. Hey, the psalmist says it one time there. I believe it was in Psalms 116. Let me see if I can find it here. He said in Psalms 116, he said, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. You know what that word inclined means? That word inclined means that God in heaven on his throne has been over to us and he has paid attention to us. And he has listened to us because he cares for us and loves us and listens and wants to answer our prayer. That I have experienced. Listen, I'm glad that I don't talk about somebody else's experience. I'm glad you've had your prayers answered. And I love to hear folk testify here at church about God and that answering prayers, about what God has done and how God's made a way when there was no way. And listen, I love to hear those things. But listen, I know what it's like. I know what it's like and that to pray and be sincere to heaven and be sincere to God and him know my heart and him knowing that I'm needing needs and I need him to come by where I'm at, and all of a sudden God shows up. I know what that's like. How many of you has ever been sincere with God and prayed and not told anybody else? See, you know, let me finish this. And not told anybody else, but you prayed it. It was your prayer. And God come by and answered it. See, if somebody else knew about it and prayed, I'd say, well, God answered their prayer. That's how my mind works. Well, God heard their prayer and God moved for them. But friend, when I prayed it in my heart, nobody else knew about the need. Nobody else knew what needed to happen. But I cried out to God and he heard my prayer. Ain't that something? David said, I've been young and now I'm old, but yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. He said, I have seen some things. I have experienced some things. Can I tell you that, friend, if there's a need in your heart and in your life today, I can tell you that he'll supply for your prayer today. He'll supply your need. He certainly can. Listen, I'm glad today I know what that's like. The Bible said that the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We begin to pray and seek God. I'm glad that he's sitting on the throne in heaven and that he hears and that he wants to answer. Have you ever experienced an answered prayer? I tell you what, if you do, when you do, don't that just make you want to tell about it? I'll be honest with you. When he's answered my prayers, I just wanted to tell folk about what he done. Let me tell you this story here. I know that I've told you over and over and over again about, listen, we've had financial needs and I've prayed and sought God. And sometimes before the day's over with, those things has done been took care of. You know, he is a God that meets the needs. No matter what it is, God can meet your need today. He can satisfy your heart, but He can meet your need, whether it's a physical need, whether it is a spiritual need, whether it's a mental need. I'm telling you right now, God, and that meets needs if you'll just talk to Him about it. I'm amazed that He sets up in heaven and listens. I don't believe He's a grandfather type that wants to hand out suckers to His grandchildren and just does it. But friend, I do believe this, that He does care for us. And that He does listen. Don't you mom and dads listen to your children? It's one thing when they just come and just haphazardly ask for something. But you can tell when your children are being serious about things. You can tell when it's on their heart. You can tell when they're getting serious about that thing. And boy, they might have a need. You know, if you look through all the Bible, you'll find that God answered prayer after prayer. I mean, did He not answer Elijah's prayer? I mean, fire fell from heaven. Elijah prayed and it rained. Hadn't rained 3.5 years. And Elijah prayed and it rained. God answered Hannah's prayer. She had a little boy. You can read all through the book of Psalms and through the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel. And you'll find out that God and that answered David's prayer and King Hezekiah's prayer. Listen how that He answered King Jehoshaphat's prayer in 2 Chronicles 20 and all through the New Testament. We see about the Apostle Paul that how that God answers prayer. To see Him work because you prayed. But then to see Him work because we prayed collectively. You know, I was talking about privately a few minutes ago, but then we prayed collectively, kind of like the church over there in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was in prison and the Bible said that prayer was made for him without ceasing. And they got to praying that God would cut him loose and that out of prison over there. And when he came and knocked on the door, and I believe her name was Rhoda, and she heard and that him rapping out there on the gate. And she knew it was Peter because of his voice. She didn't open the door, but ran and said, "Peter's outside." And they said, "It ain't Peter. It's not him. He's in prison." And she kept on and kept on and said, "Well, it must be his angel, must be his spirit." And finally they went and opened the door and there Peter stood. How many times are we like the local New Testament church there? Is we pray and pray and God answers and we still can't believe that He answered. Has God ever answered your prayer and you stood dumbfounded and said, "I can't believe He done it"? I've been there. I mean, where you look up to heaven and pray. I mean, hey, there's been some times. My prayer life is not always serious. And I know that's a shame for the preacher to say that. But I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I pray and that's simply to say that I've got my prayer time done for the day. I've been in a hurry. I wanted to pray and just get it done to get it done. And even in all that, God knows. But you know, there's times that you get down and you just begin to pray and you get in that closet and you finally get that door shut and you begin to pray and seek God. And God hears. And I know what it's like to stand dumbfounded going, "My soul, I can't believe He done it. I can't believe He supplied that need. I can't believe He saved that person." Yeah. We got talking about a feller out in our community that got saved. Junior was his name. Over Christmas holidays, we was talking about him. And I'll just be honest with you, Junior. I'd been running around down in that community even before me and Kelly got to dating. And them boys that I was running with, they'd tell me stories about Junior. He wasn't nothing but a drunk. That's all he was. And he got dried out before he got saved. But you know what? And I've told you this story over and over and over again. His sister-in-law would ask me, "You've been praying for Junior?" She said, "I've been praying for him for 30 years. And then it was 35 years. And then it was 40 years. And finally, old Junior got saved. That's hard to believe. But you know what? I stand dumbfounded at some of the things that God does. You know why God saved old Junior? He saved him, first of all, because He died for him at Calvary. Now, you better get that this morning. He saves sinners because he went to Calvary. That's why he saves them. Amen. Listen, but I'm going to tell you why else he saved. Because he had a sister-in-law over there who wouldn't quit praying for him. He had a church that wouldn't quit praying for him. He had folk that was going to pray for him. And then I'm afraid that a lot of times that we get that news, we've been praying for it, and then all of a sudden that answer comes. You ask me why God, and that cures some people and heals, and that some people from their sickness and others that he does not. But friend, ain't it amazing when they get in that, their x-ray, their MRI, and it shows a tumor. But yet the church prays, God's people praise, and yet they take it again, and all of a sudden it's gone. Explain that. I don't understand some of those things. But I know that when those things happen, no matter what happens, we will clap our hands and praise Him no matter what. But boy, when He does answer, friend, we ought to praise Him. Is He not worthy of our praise? A lot of times we get in testimony time if we ain't careful and we won't tell all the bad things. Well, it's been a bad week. It's been a hard time. But at least, and I'm just as guilty. Man, if you've ever seen anybody drag their lip on the ground and get the muddy grubs, you're looking at him. And I'm the same way, and I try not to be that way. But listen, we'll begin to praise the Lord. But we want to tell about all the bad things and then give him just a few minutes of credit when we've told all the bad. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, we were to say it's been a bad week. Things ain't went right, but praise be unto God. He's brought us through, and I want to praise him for just a little while. And he's worthy of it all. But I know what it's like to have the prayers answered. Do you know what it's like to get down and pray? Can I tell you, I know what it's like to still be praying. Trying to find and trying to get an answer. I know what that's like. Number two, I know what it's like to have my supplication supplied, but I know what it's like to have them storms stilled in my life. You go to Mark chapter 4, you'll find that the disciples was in the middle of a storm. They get in a boat and they get out in the Sea of Galilee, and the storm comes raging in there. And the Bible says that the boat is now full. And Jesus is on board, and he's laying in the hinder part of the ship with his head on a pillow, and they go and they wake him up and they say, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now, even when he was asleep, he knew exactly what was going to happen. But them in that little old ship, and the Bible said it was now full. I don't know how deep that ship was, but I believe my Bible that when it said that it was now full, I believe that it had water in it. I listen, friend, I believe there was water piling up in it. The storm was raging. But let me say this, that as long as he's on board, everything's all right. But that storm was raging. Them boys didn't know what they was going to do. Did you know that they were in fear of dying? Because they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And so he stands out on the bow of that boat, and he says, "Peace be still." And that sea just lays right down and becomes just as still as glass. The winds quit blowing. And can you imagine those? I don't believe that that was probably the only boat on the Sea of Galilee at that time. And those that were standing around on the lake shore, on the seashore, and that to see all this that was going on, and all of a sudden the storm that was raging just come to an end. How many of you know what that's like? To have your world seem like that it was inevitably going to turn upside down, that the worst was yet to happen, and all of a sudden he comes by and steps on the boat and says, "Peace, be still." and still. Could not see a way out and thought it was coming to an end. You ever thought about what comes in a storm? You know, used to, when I was a teenager, still living at home, we would set out on the carport when a storm would come. My dad lived on top of a hill, and we could see them storms coming. And we'd take a lawn chair and sit out there on the carport and sit over there and just sit out and watch these storms come rolling in. And it didn't matter how much lightning cracked and the thunder roared and the wind would blow. We would sit out there and we'd watch. We wasn't the smartest people in the world. And we'd watch these things. But you know, the older that I've got, the more I hate to see a storm coming. Because I know that with thunder and lightning and with rain and with a storm comes wind, and I know that it brings destruction. And I know that storms can turn everything upside down. And listen, and I know that storms brings fear and brings anxiety and it brings worry. And listen, it gets us off track of what we need to be doing for the Lord. But I'm glad He made His disciples in John 14 and verse 16, I believe it was. He said, "I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." So in Mark 4, He steps out on the bow of that boat. He was close enough that they could touch Him. In Mark 6, He's not in the boat, but He's on the seashore. But He's watching every move that they make. And the Bible says He constrained them to get in the ship. And that literally means He done everything short of picking them up and throwing them in the boat. And He tells them to go to the other side, and they get in the ship and they go to the other side. And y'all know the story. I preached on it numerous times, that they get out in the middle of that sea and the storm shows up. And the Bible says that He was alone on the land, on the shore, and He seen them toiling in rowing. I always said them boys never quit what they were supposed to be doing. They were still toiling and rowing. But they were in the middle of a storm. But this time they could not see Him. And they could not touch Him. But no doubt they were calling out to Him. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get in a storm and we may not see Him and we may not feel Him, but I'll guarantee you He sees us. And you know what the Bible said, that in the fourth watch of the night, that's from 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning, in the darkest part of it all, the Bible said that He come walking by, and He got them boys, and that's where Peter and Acts got out of the boat and said, "Lord, if it be You, bid me come." And he jumps out on the water and begins to walk toward the Lord and saw the winds and the waves boisterous, and he began to sink and cried out, "Lord, save me." And Jesus reached down and picked him up and put him in the boat, and they got to the land. How many times have you been in the middle of a storm and then somehow the storm ceased, or He got you to where you need to be? You know, sometimes it's like in Acts chapter 27. Did you know that for the Apostle Paul in Acts 27, that storm never quit? That boat ended up in 1 million pieces. But God got him where he was going, say. Can I tell you, sometimes it's not the fact that He's going to stop the storm. And sometimes it's not the fact that He's going to come to where you are and get you to land and get you there safely. It's just the fact sometimes He's just going to get you through it. Sometimes He's just going to get you through the storm. If you look in Acts chapter 27, you'll find that the Apostle Paul said after they had not seen sun or stars in many days, he said all hope that we should be saved was taken away. You ever been in that place? You ever been to where there was no hope? I'm talking about being in a place to where the Lord has stilled your storms. Some of y'all have been in such storms before in your life that you didn't know what you were going to do. You didn't know how it's going to end. You didn't know how God would intervene. You couldn't see the end of the thing simply because it was too dark. The wind blew too much. The lightning flashed. The thunder cracked. And you didn't know what you was going to do. But I have been young. And I won't call myself old, but there's been a few times I've seen him still some storms. So the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 27, after all hope that they should be saved was taken away, he makes this statement over here. He says that the angel of the Lord came to where he was. He said, of whose I am and whom I serve, he says, it's been told me that we're going to be cast on some certain island. And in Acts 27:25, he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul said, in the midst of that storm, 14 days, they have not eaten. They have been bounced around on that ship for 14 days in a ship that they just knew was going to fall apart. Read the story. And he stands out there on that ship and he says, sirs, be of good cheer. I always found that very ironic. After 14 days, leave it to the preacher to want to stand out there and say, but be of good cheer. Why? For I believe God. Boy, we all ought to take a little time to shout right there. For I believe God. You know what? I've looked at people that's been in the middle of storms, and they were just, I knew they were in a storm. I knew that they were getting beat to death. And yet they would say, I'm just trusting the Lord. And I'm thinking in myself, how in the world are you trusting the Lord now? But when you get there, because you know Him, you know what it means to just trust Him. He says, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Can I tell you, God got them through that storm, didn't He? It cost them the ship. It cost them everything. But they got there. How many of us knows? David said, been young, now of old. I'm glad I know what it's like. You say, why are you glad? You know what's up? Because I know that won't be the last storm that I ever go through. You understand what I'm saying? I know. Look. What I'm saying is I'm glad I know that He'll bring me through that thing, because I know that somewhere out there, there's another storm just waiting. And I trusted Him on this last one, and I'm going to trust Him on this one again. Number three, I know what it's like to have strength supplied. How many of us has ever got weak in the battle? Got discouraged? Wanted to quit? Felt like we was all alone and didn't want to go on anymore? Just be better to sit down and quit. I preached on discouragement here, I don't know what, 2 or 3 weeks ago on Wednesday night, on being discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged. It's awful hard to get encouraged, ain't it? But I know what it's like to have strength supplied. To just be disgusted with situations. And to just fought the battle and to have the devil beat on you so much that you say to yourself, Man, why do you put yourself through this? Now, if you'd be honest with yourself, hey, some of you have been there before. And they said, hey, listen, the Apostle Paul, and that he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me, and he said, and strengthened me. Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, he said right there, he said, I stood by myself. He said, nobody else stood with me except the Lord. And in my standing, he stood and give me the strength to keep on standing. Some of you has had to stand against family. You've had to stand against friends. But sometimes just to fight the good fight of faith, you just need strength. I'm glad he said in Isaiah 41, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Now remember when we studied discouragement, that's what dismayed means. It means to be discouraged, disheartened. For I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I preached over at the nursing home Friday morning out of Hebrews 13 and 5, where he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And I come to that scripture, I believe it was in the book of Isaiah, where he told the children of Israel over there, he said, when you're old, and even to your hoar hairs, and he's talking about them white hairs, when your hair has turned white and you've got old, he said, I will be there. I know what it's like, even at my age, to be tired spiritually, but to have strength supply. How many of us have ever been tired physically? I mean, literally just worked all day. Worked all day and come in and was beat down. And I mean, you was dragging one foot behind the other. And I mean, you was having to pull your britches up to keep on going. And I mean, but yet when you got there and you got a little rest and you got a little bit to eat, you know what? You was ready to go again. Ain't that just like the Lord? Just to give us a little rest and a little bit to eat and we go again. He knows how to supply strength. I'm glad I know what that's like, because I know there's going to come time that I'm going to be beat on again in the good fight of faith, and I know that I'll find strength in it all. But number four and last of all, I'm glad I know what it's like to be saved. Now, you don't have to be old to understand that. I'm glad I know what that's like. I'm glad I've had that experience to have trusted Christ as my Savior. And you know the thing about this? You only got to do that one time. See, He'll still the storms over and over and over again. He'll supply the needs over and over and over again. He'll supply your supplications and satisfy your supplications over and over and over again, but He'll only save you one time. I'm glad I know. You know, I listen to folk talk about having a change or a change happening in their life. I'm glad I know what that's like. I don't testify on what somebody else talks about. I testify on what I know. See, I don't have to tell you what He done for somebody else. I can tell you what He done for me. You know, what was He said? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I can tell y'all about that. I was 14 years old when I got saved, but listen, I was heading down the wrong path even then. And looking back, boy, I can see it. I mean, I can see it looking back on things. How God changed things and how the Lord changed my heart. My desires changed. You know what? When you get saved, He does change your desires. I can tell you that from experience. I'm glad I know what it's like. How about you this morning? Do you know what it's like? There's a songwriter wrote, do you know how it feels to know something's missing? See, I know what it's like to get under conviction and know that I was lost. You know what that's like? You ever experienced that? You ever come to a place where you realize that you were lost? I know what that's like. And I know what it's like to come to an altar and get saved and ask Jesus to save me. I'm glad I know what it's like. I'm glad I know what it's like to call out on the Lord. Kind of like in Acts 16, that Philippian jailer come over there, boy, after he almost like to kill himself. And the Bible said he called for a light, he sprang in and came in trembling. I believe old boy was just under conviction. You know, that's the same thing he said about Agrippa over there, or Felix over there. Says that as Paul preached to him over there, you know, reason of righteous temperance of judgment to come, Felix trembled. I believe that old Philippian jailer coming there, and he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house." And boy, the Bible goes on, and the next verse said they expounded on the Word of God to him and began to show him. You know what it's like to get under conviction? I don't think you have to cry when you get under conviction. I really don't. I think you might, but I don't think you have to cry. But I do know this, that when a man, woman, boy, or girl gets under conviction about their salvation, gets under conviction about being a sinner and God's breaking their heart, I don't think they'll come to the altar with a smile on their face. He's breaking their heart, showing them that they're a sinner and that they need to get saved. I know what it's like to have peace and joy to come and reside in my heart. Psalms 51, David has sinned against the Lord. You know what he said when he got right? He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Is there not joy in salvation? I know what that's like. How about you? I'm glad I can say that this morning. I know what it's like to have secured salvation and have my supplications supplied, and to have storms stilled, and supplies and needs supplied to me. I'm glad I know about all that. Because you know what? Barring salvation right there, I know that all those things I'm going to have to face again. But because I'm saved, I know He's going to face them with me. Ain't that a wonderful thought? Let's bow our heads, if we would, across the house. Do you know what it's like this morning? Jacob, give us a little music, our son, if you would. Do you know what it's like? If you don't know what it's like, I encourage you to come and get saved today. If God has knocked on your heart, Revelation 3:20, he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice," he said, "I'll come in and sup with him and he with me." Listen, if you need to come and pray this morning, you say, "Preacher, I'm going through a storm right now." Can I tell you, if this is the first storm you've ever went through since you've been saved, I guarantee you, on the authority of God's Word and what I've seen in my life, He will help you through it. Say, "Preacher, I've been praying and praying." Keep praying. But ain't you glad you know what it's like? I'm glad to know what it's like, friend, to have peace and joy in my heart. How about you this morning? Can you say what that song's playing right there? "It is well with my soul."